We're starting this morning a series from the book of Colossians. I think I may have mentioned to the congregation previously that this is by request. And if you have a topic or a Bible book that you would like us to speak from, simply give the request. I do want to point out, some of you may think, and this was my initial reaction as well, didn't we do this not so long ago? Well, the answer is, it depends on what you call not so long ago. 3 years ago is when the last series on Colossians ended. Things change in 3 years. There are people here who weren't here 3 years ago. And we're doing this in a slightly different way than we did 3 years ago, so it may be not only will this be a good review for those who've been with us for Colossians, but it may bring something new to you. Well, as you see, and there's nothing strange or deep about the theme for the book of Colossians, complete in Christ. Books and sermon series have that same title or something very close to it. But in fact, some are called The Preeminence of Christ, which sounds very profound, but it just simply means he gets first place. And so we're looking at the book of Colossians from the standpoint of your being complete in him. And as we pointed out a few minutes ago, if you've glanced at your bulletin, we see that the theme of the book for today, and we're looking at the overview of the book. Most of you know I always do this when we start a book study. We give an overview first and then go into the details of the book. And the theme for the overview, Christ is all you need. Or another way to put this, if you have Christ, you have everything. So, what are we dealing with here? Christ is all you need, especially in light of your memory verse, Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him. Well, I want to talk to you about that word complete. Now, this is where I miss my friend and brother Dale Wells, because Dale always looked forward to a vocabulary lesson. And I think it's been a long time. Wells, is it not true? Since we've had a vocabulary lesson, so we'll have one today. Maybe more than one before we're all over, but we'll have one today. If you go to a Strong's Concordance, and by the way, I'm going to, before I even get into the word complete, I'm going to do a little sidebar here with my wife's permission that she won't get upset with me, but you know, honestly, folks, you can get deep into the scriptures with basically three tools. One of the tools is what I have on the pulpit this morning, a Ryrie Study Bible. Mine is in New American Standard. You can get them in King James. Well, you can get them in a variety of translations. You can get a King James. You can get a New King James, if that's your preference. But if you have his notes, you've got a great deal toward understanding the Bible. But not everything. And I don't agree with Dr. Ryrie about every jot and tittle. 90-some percent, yeah, but not everyone. So in order to get the full picture, you need a second study Bible. And this is because Daryl and I haven't written a study Bible yet. But, in fact, we're the last ones who haven't. But anyway, the other study Bible you need is an old Scofield. There have been updates on the Scofield, and they have their value. But I keep going back to the old 1917, 1907, I forget what the copyright is now. And it's only available in King James. And by the way, all of these can be acquired very inexpensively. What I'm suggesting to you as the tools you need, you can get today for $75, maybe you'd spend that much. And then the third tool you need is what I mentioned a moment ago, a Strong's Concordance. And I could have brought all these to the pulpit, but that wasn't my intent this morning. But the point is, if you have a Strong's Concordance, it's geared to the Greek and the Hebrew. And although you can get, I have one in New American Standard, but you can get one, they almost give them to you in geared to the King James. You can get them for next to nothing. And all of these are available on electronic media if that's what you use. So my point in all of this is that for no more than $75, and I may be stretching it, you could have essentially all the Bible, personal Bible study tools you need. Now, are any one of these perfect? And the answer is no. And do you want to know why? Because the only perfect person who's ever lived is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not write the notes that are here. People like us wrote the notes, and I have the highest respect for all the people I've named and many more beside, but they're all human beings and they can make mistakes, and I don't care how many doctor's degrees appear after their name. I respect them, but they can make a mistake. And so that's why I suggest the three tools. Now, why did I go into all that? Back to the book of Colossians. Dr. Strong, by the way, he was a Baptist, if that matters to you. But anyway, he was a Baptist, and his definitions in his concordance, when you look up Greek and Hebrew terms, are very good. But once again, Dr. Strong was a human being, and so you have to, you know, take that into consideration. But he did a great job with this word complete. This is a very common word in the New Testament. And I'd like to talk more about it, but we'll have to cut it short because I need to get to my vocabulary lesson. He defines this word as replete, which I assume is a vocabulary word for most of us. What does the word replete mean? It means crammed full. In fact, that's one of the illustrations he uses in his definition. Like you'd cram a net full of fish. The point here being is that it's full and there's not room for anything else. It's not just that it's complete in the sense of satisfied. It's complete to the extent that there's not room for anything else. And he says that's what this word means in Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him. You are filled up, and there's, even if you wanted something else, you don't have room for anything else. Christ is all. He is all. And so that's the theme of our study of the book of Colossians. And it's very neat. The four chapters form the four divisions of the book. Essentially, you know me, I'm always trying to rechapter and reverse things. But actually, the theme of chapter 3 extends into chapter 4 just a little bit. And so anyway, rule of thumb, four chapters, four divisions to the book. Christ is the only master you need. That's chapter 1 of Colossians. Now, the word master, I don't think this is a vocabulary lesson. The word master in the New Testament, especially if you're using the King James, is used in a variety of ways. Sometimes the word master has what is the technically correct meaning, the one who owns and the one who is supreme in authority. But the word is also used in other ways. Sometimes it's a word that simply means teacher. And I believe the King James in John chapter 3 has Nicodemus addressing Jesus as master. And if you have a newer translation, it will say teacher. That's what it means. Sometimes it's used as a synonym, again, in the King James and probably other translations, for the Hebrew term rabbi. And of course, that's what a rabbi is as well. He is a teacher. That is the basic sense in which I'm using the word for our outline here. He's the only master. He's the only teacher you need. He's the only one you need to follow. He's the only one that you need to follow. Many of you are aware that in ancient times, go back to New Testament times, teachers were what others have called peripatetic. There's a vocabulary word. I wouldn't hold on to it. You're not going to run into that much. But it means they walked around. They walked around. And so when Jesus called different guys to be his disciples, they understood that they were going to literally, physically follow him from place to place. And you understand, you've read your New Testament, your Gospels. We did that study in the Gospel of Matthew not so long ago. And you recall that he goes by the Sea of Galilee and he encounters four guys who are partners in the fishing business. Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And you've got the two pairs of brothers and they're in partnership in the fishing trade. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets and they followed Jesus and they kept following him. And then he goes to another place and there's a tax collector there named Levi. You know him as Matthew. And he's the one who wrote that gospel by that name. And he is called by Jesus. Here again, least likely candidate to be a disciple of Jesus, but he immediately leaves his money tables and follows him. He walks around with him. That's what you and I are supposed to do as well. He's the master, and we're supposed to walk with him. Now, how do you do that? Well, it's what Daryl was saying just a few minutes ago. It's day by day, you get in this book and let him talk to you. And every day, you talk to him when you pray. And honestly, folks, the Christian life is essentially that simple. It's that simple. It's the devotional life. Well, more about that when we get further into the book of Colossians. But he's the one who teaches us, and what I'm trying to get at here, and to bring it up to the year 2019, is this. There are a lot of other teachers around who are quick to tell you, it's great to have Jesus, but you need somebody else. If they're cults, the somebody else you need is me. And so, you know, Jesus is wonderful, but you need more than Jesus. And the point of the book of Colossians, and particularly this first chapter, is when it comes to leaders, when it comes to masters, you don't need anyone else. And furthermore, if you have Jesus, you don't have room for anybody else. You've got all there is when you've got Jesus, when you've got Christ. Now, Colossians 2, Christ is the only message you need. Many messages in the world today. And the Apostle Paul tells us about four different messages in the second chapter of Colossians. And they're the same messages that are prevalent today. There are those who say that you need the good news, and call it hope or whatever term you want, and then you also need to blend it with something else. And today, you've got people who say, well, you need the gospel plus Sigmund Freud. Or you need... Really? Yeah, it's all through the churches today. You'll find out when we get there in the second chapter. You need the gospel plus name the political system that you want. Or you need the gospel plus capitalism. Or the gospel plus communism. You know, I mean, take your pick. The bottom line is, this is the only message you need. It's Christ. It's Christ. Then another message that's prevalent today is, and this kind of goes the opposite direction in one sense, it's not the basic thinking of the world that you need, it's the law. Some kind of law. Maybe the Mosaic law, and that's basically what this section of Colossians 2 will deal with, but you've got people today who will make up their own law, their own rules and regulations. And so you need this, you need the gospel, but you need something else in addition to in order to be complete. And Colossians 2 says, you don't need the law. You need Christ. He's the fulfillment of the law. So you don't need. I'll put it this way, you don't need Christ plus Moses. You just need Christ. Another, I'm trying to give you the four concepts that were prevalent 2,000 years ago, and they're still with us today. The other is what's called mysticism. The third one is the mystical approach, and that's very popular today with the emergent church and New Age and all this sort of thing. And then the fourth is the good news. It's Christ plus, and I don't know really much other way to put this, asceticism. Asceticism means that you wall yourself off from the world. And it's been expressed over the centuries in a variety of ways. In the Eastern Church, what calls itself the Orthodox Church, they used to go out individually and be hermits, or whatever a female hermit is, a hermitess, men and women both, they would go out as individuals and isolate themselves from the world, and this is how you became spiritual and how you became one with God. And then in the Western form of Catholicism, they didn't go off as individuals. They clumped together, men and women. You know, you would have people in monasteries. There would be men. There would be women in their own monastery. And you got together. And that was how you became spiritual. You physically, with physical walls, walled yourself off from the world. Well, I'll just tell you very quickly why that doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work is, you got a bunch of sinners together all in one place, and you're trying your hardest to not be sinners, but you are. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But you don't need Christ plus something else. The message is Christ. Christ alone. And so we come to the third chapter of Colossians, and a little bit in chapter 4. Christ is the only method you need. You know, we live in a day, it amazes me that people, preachers, whole groups of folks that are trying to figure out how to do it right, if we just had the right method, everything, it'd be, you know, we'll get the right method. And that was true in ancient times, as we'll see, but it's true even in relatively recent times. How do you think the Methodists got their name? It wasn't because the founder was Joe Method. It was because they thought that initially, and don't misunderstand me, there have been great Methodists down through the years. We sing some of their hymns Sunday after Sunday. So no, I'm not, but their basic thought in the beginning was that if we follow a method, that will make us spiritual. We need Christ plus the right method. And what we want to discover in chapter 3 is that Christ is the right method. He's the method. Fix your eyes on Christ. If therefore you have been raised up together with Christ, keep looking above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's the method. Give people Christ. Well, but how do I live the Christian life? How do I make that real in my life? Chapter 3 goes on to tell you, and again, we could spend a lot of time here this morning, but let me just draw your attention to one of the great 3:16s of the Bible. Everybody knows John 3:16. Well, Colossians 3:16 is another great one. And that verse tells us that you have been raised together with Christ, and you are to let the Word of God richly dwell within you. Let the Word of God richly dwell within you, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what our music is supposed to do. And yet, so much of what we hear today in churches, wherever you go, concerts, whatever it meant, it could be called the drift away music. There was a popular song years ago, secular song, "Give Me the Beat, Boys, and Free My Soul. I Want to Get Lost in Your Rock and Roll and Drift Away." And that's what a lot of folks are doing today. They're drifting away. Lest you think, and I'll explain this when we get to 3:16, it's not just the new songs that do this. Some of our old songs encourage us to just drift away, just, you know, let me float. No, we're to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then, you want another memory verse, 3:17, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving thanks to Him through Jesus Christ. Christ is the method. And then finally, in chapter 4, Christ is the only ministry you need. I'm sorry, some of this seems so funny to me. It amazes me that in our day, every itch that a Christian has becomes a ministry. You know, I want to do this. You know, I feel good about doing this, so I've got Christian, and then you fill in the blank. You know, Daryl and his son came out, and we shot guns out at the house the other day. And everybody had fun, I think, and got something accomplished too, I think. But my point is, we don't have a ministry to do that. It's what we do. You know, it's fun. But it doesn't become a ministry to go out to Sheila's ranch and shoot guns. It's just what we do and enjoy. Same thing with, golf. Every sport in the world becomes a ministry. You know, I've got a ministry to this. I will never forget, some of you have heard this numerous times. We have some missionaries that we support, the Jordans. They're with New Tribes Missions. They're retired now and living in Sanford at the Mission Retirement Center. But years ago, when they were doing deputation, they went down to Florida. And honestly, I think it was St. Pete, but I'm not sure where it was now. But they were invited to, and I'll go ahead and name the denomination. It was a Presbyterian church where they were having a missions conference. I'm not real sure how Charles and Faye got invited to this, but they did. But it is a Presbyterian church, so naturally Presbyterian missions got the major emphasis. And one of the things that this church wanted to do was to plant a Presbyterian church in the golfing community of wherever it was, because those were the people they wanted to reach. Now, do we have any golf players here? I don't want to give offense, but it doesn't look like we do. Anyway, so probably I won't give offense. My point is, as far as I can tell, if you're going to play golf, even in retirement, you got to have some money. It costs you something. You know, I mean, you say, well, you were talking about shooting. Well, yeah, that costs some money too, but I'm amazed at how much it costs you to get on some of these golf courses and everything. Anyway, that's where they wanted to have a ministry to the golfing community. Christ is the ministry. The ministry is not something that you get a bug over and call it a ministry. Christ is the service. He is the ministry. And that's why at the end of Colossians, the book of Colossians, as we go through the fourth chapter, you're going to discover that when you give people Christ, that's all the ministry you need. You don't need to rake up or dig up some special pony and dog show, dog and pony show, I guess it used to be called, to have a ministry. It doesn't have to emphasize anything except Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that you can't use something to attract people to hear the message. But what I am saying is the ministry is Christ himself. And it doesn't have to be anything else. It's just Christ himself. So, Christ is. He really is all you need. He's all you need personally, and he's all you need for service. And part of the reason, again, is if you have Christ, you can't get anything else in. We touched on this morning. I think Brother Cole mentioned this at some point, but why do we teach and believe that if you're a believer in Christ, you cannot be demon-possessed? Well, here's one of the reasons. If I have Christ in me, there's not room for any other spirit in me. You know what I mean, a contrary spirit. And if he's the one, as our memory verse says, who is the ruler over all rule and authority, that's speaking about spiritual rule and authority, if he's over top of all that, why would he let his enemy in, you see? So, I mean, there are other reasons, and I could give them here, but that's not our point today. The point is the fact that Christ is all you need, and if you have him, you don't need anything else, ought to guide and govern our lives. It ought to guide and govern our lives. And you and I, when we start our day, ought to recognize, I'm coming back to this devotional life now, but we ought to recognize that if we, how shall I put it, make contact with Jesus, we've got the day in hand. That doesn't mean bad things can't happen. It just simply means that we have all we need to be victorious because he was victorious. Don't you love one of the last teachings of the Lord Jesus himself, where he, telling his disciples that he was going to leave, and furthermore, that the world was not going to run around and pat them on the head and tell them how wonderful they were. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too, he said. But he said, I've told you these things so that when they happen, that is the bad things that would come to them, that they would not be discouraged. And he said, in the world, you will have tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now, what's that mean to me? Well, he's in me. The overcomer lives in me. And so if he lives in me, I can overcome as well. I can overcome as well. And as a matter of fact, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, is going to tell us you have done that. You've already done that because you've believed in Christ. The real question is, if Christ is all you need, do you have Christ? Do you have all you need? There are a lot of people who, they're sitting in a church this morning just like you are, and they think that because they're in a pew or whatever they sit on at that particular church, they're a Christian. But the Bible tells us that those who are truly Christians are those who have received Christ as their Savior. We remembered him today at the Lord's table. He shed his blood to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead to give eternal life as his gift. Have you received the gift of eternal life in Christ? Do it now if you've never done it before. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for all of the Word of God. Today our thoughts have been on the book of Colossians, and we're so grateful for the truths that we find there. We ask our Father that the Spirit, who is the great teacher, would speak to us from the words of this book and show us Christ in all his glory in the days ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll ask Daryl and Sheila to return, and we will close the service with a favorite song of mine, The Cleansing Wave, and that is number 227, if I got that right. 227, The Cleansing Wave.